Coming up, can you learn to be a medical psychic?
You really can have it all, it all, it all, it all, it all, it all. Welcome to Having It All, featuring experts and pioneers in health, wealth, relationships, and spirituality, creating a healthier, wealthier, happier you. And now, here's your host, the Miracle Mama, Marbeth Dunn.
Woo! It is great to be here. So coming up, we have the amazing Wendy Coulter telling us how and why we might want to learn about being a medical psychic. But first, there is a Chinese parable, an old Chinese parable about a farmer named Chan who had a plow horse. One day, his horse ran away and all of Chan's neighbors commiserated with him. "What terrible luck!" Chan replied, "We'll see." A few days later, Chan's horse returned with a small herd of wild horses. Chan's neighbors told him, "How wonderful! This is so auspicious!" And Chan replied, "We'll see." Chan's son picked out the most beautiful stallion of all the new horses and decided to break him in. The stallion reared up, threw Chan's son to the ground, and broke his leg. And he couldn't work the fields. Now, Chan had to work the fields by himself. And the neighbors cried, "What terrible luck!" And Chan replied, "We will see." Then the army came and conscripted all the young men in the village for the army. But they couldn't take Chan's son. His neighbors said, "You are so lucky." And he said, "We will see." I lived in Haiti for 17 years. I was a painter and I had a small art business and a couple of shops at the beach. I love Haiti. I've had quite a connection for many, many years. And a few years back, I watched Vice on HBO. They had a program on tracing where the money went to Haiti. And I realized that less than 1% of the $10.5 billion reached the people, and that people were still living in abysmal conditions with raw sewage and under the plastic tarps that were the temporary shelters. And I got really angry because I knew that I could build a house in Haiti if I were there for $5,000 or less. And it wouldn't be the most beautiful house in the world, but it would be a solid shelter. And that's when I decided to be the change. I created a 501c3 nonprofit called the Haiti Community Project, HaitiCommunityProject.org. And we build solid cement hurricane-proof houses in the small mountain village of Musat. Most of the grass and tin houses were destroyed during Hurricane Matthew. And what we are doing is we're building houses for $4,000 a house, solid cement structures. And actually, we're helping the community rebuild itself. They're building the houses. The people in the community are building the houses themselves with local materials. And this is building self-reliance and self-esteem and community. $4,000 builds a sturdy cement house. Now, you may wonder what this has to do with Farmer Chen. On March 16th, I wired $8,000 from our Haiti Community Project bank account at a local bank. We wired $8,000 to build two houses. Now, his situation in Haiti is dire. People have been dying in this village due to the heavy rains and flooding. Well, the money disappeared for almost 6 weeks. The Haiti bank denied ever receiving it. And people said, "That's awful, what terrible luck." And I said, "We will see." And then, in an abrupt bout face, at the 6-week mark, The Haiti bank discovered the money, took $600 of it in fees, and sent it back to my Florida Haiti Community Project bank account. Evidently, this is a common situation with some Haitian banks. I was not knowledgeable about that, or it would not have happened. But again, people said, oh, that's terrible. And I said, we'll see. So I pulled the additional $600 from my personal bank account, added it to the funds, and I discovered that my associate has a U.S. bank account. So I wired the money directly there. No problem. It was immediately turned into building two new houses for two very, very lucky families. My local bank was wonderful. They were diligent. They were helpful. They persevered to help me throughout. And at this point, I could have gotten sour on the situation. Can you imagine having $8,000 disappear for 6 weeks? And I could have felt victimized. I definitely felt that I could have. It would have been easy. But I chose not to. And throughout the ordeal, I stayed very positive. And I thought, this could still work out well. Today, I received a call from the assistant manager at my local bank. I've been working with him throughout. And he explained to the manager who handles local sponsorships what happens. And it looks like they may be giving us money from their local community sponsorship fund. Now, it wouldn't be a lot, but I think we're covered. So it's so important to stay neutral about events. They're just events. They're not good. They're not bad. We color them and give them meaning when we react emotionally. I kept thinking, this could work out very well. Now, as I said, I could have gotten angry or negative. It's always a choice, and I chose to stay neutral. And beyond neutral, I chose to stay positive. So if you'd like to learn more about the Haiti Community Project, visit us on the web at haiticommunityproject.org. Even small donations are welcome. It's a very worthy project, and we would love to have your help. But now, Wendy Coulter is a certified master healer, a medical intuitive, clairvoyant practitioner, teacher, minister, and coach. Her commitment to the deeper awareness and understanding of the metaphysical balance between mind, body, and spirit is evident in her caring and insightful consultations and her transformative programs and workshops. Wendy has a thriving practice in LA for over 15 years, and she's been teaching intuitive development and energy medicine professionally for nearly 10 years. Welcome, Wendy. I'm so thrilled to have you on Having It All Radio.
Thank you, Marbeth, and what a wonderful story. And I have a few things to say about the idea of neutrality.
It's very important.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. So what is medical intuition?
Medical intuition is a process of viewing the body systems from a visual, intuitive visual perspective. And medical intuitives that I train and how I work is I look at the body as if it were, as if I had a view of an MRI, similar to that. People know what an MRI is. You can see right into the body. The difference is that I'm seeing it in real time and not as a static picture. So it's an interesting technique to be able to develop, and I've been teaching people in the healthcare field as it's a very valuable tool for them.
I have to tell you, Wendy, years ago, I'm a Reiki master, and I do a lot of energy healing as well. And I'm familiar with what it means to be a medical intuitive. And I definitely want to explore this for our listeners. Many, many years ago, I had the opportunity to have a one-night training with a medical intuitive. And I taught a few things, and I paired up with another woman there. And I really thought she was just, very heavy. And what was interesting is that I kept seeing her uterus, and it turned out she was pregnant.
Yes, that's that. Yes, absolutely, that can happen. And the body is a very expressive. It's a very expressive thing. It wants us to know what's going on. It's very difficult when we are in some sort of health crisis to look within, but it's not impossible. One of the things I teach in my introduction workshops is how to look within in your own body and start having dialogues with your own body systems to see really what's needed and wanted. And that's wonderful that you were able to see her uterus and see that there was some energy in there that wanted to express itself.
It was. I really did it. I had no idea she was pregnant. I thought she was just very heavy.
Right. Right. Exactly. That's funny. Yeah, it's actually a very learnable skill. And it's a really good idea. As you say, you went to a class and you had some instruction, and that's really the best way to do it. You want to learn how to do this skill. And that is what I do. I teach people how to do this.
Sorry, I had myself muted here. That was amazing. And it's really wonderful. So what is the difference between medical intuition and energy healing?
That's a great question. So a medical intuitive's job is to view the body, to connect with information having to do with what's going on in the body and where the imbalances or illnesses come from. Not just physically, but also emotionally, mentally, spiritually. So it's quite a holistic view. And energy medicine, the job of an energy healer is to remove blockages. The job of a medical intuitive is to see blockages. Now, two different points of view.
Yes.
But I will.
Beautiful.
Yeah, but there's a very. Yeah. And there's a. And there are so many energy healers that take the program. It's a very natural fit. And I am also an energy healer. But what's great about medical intuition is that it's an underlying skill set for any modality, any energy healing, any Western modality, any alternative and complementary modality, because you can get a holistic view of the body, the workings, and also the underlying root causes, not just physical, but much of what we see in the work that that I do, much of what I see, is that the causes can often come from an emotional impact, a trauma of some sort, or even a physical trauma. So it's my job as a medical intuitive to see really where these things come from. And the advantage to that, as opposed to just removing blockages, is that the client or the patient has the opportunity and the permission to really heal on that deep level. A lot of energy workers, when they get done with their energy healing, even if it's a phenomenal one, their client will come back the next week or the next time with similar issues. Things haven't really shifted or moved in a powerful way. They can move subtly or not at all. And that's part of the you know, a lot of energy healers talk about that. Western medicine talks about it too. But with medical intuition, if I can get to the root of the cause, then you have this much more holistic view of how healing can occur and remain. In place and improve. It's an interesting way to look at it.
Absolutely. You know, it really is a very interesting way to look at it. And as an energy healer, well, I don't like to think of myself as just an energy healer, but it's more of like a holistic experience. But very often I will discover that the issues that are creating the physical scenario for the person may date back to a past life or ancestral issues. Does that show up in medical intuition as well?
Absolutely. We do past life work. We do DNA work, epigenetic work. We look at the body on the cellular level. It's all part of it. And if you come from a spiritual perspective, you certainly can understand that. So, yes, absolutely.
I love it.
Question. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's really fun. And I have
cool.
to tell you, when I go into a reading, I never know what I'm going to see. I usually know what the client is dealing with because I do an intake the way a doctor or a, you know, healthcare professional would. But I don't know what I'm going to see. I wait and let the body show me.
So how did you end up being a medical psychic?
Well, I've always been a little psychic. I think everybody, you know, I know that everybody is born intuitive. It's a natural human trait. We are all intuitive. We use it in different ways. Sometimes we think about it as a gut feeling or a hunch, and sometimes we feel the emotions of other people, and sometimes we get this sort of knowingness and that kind of thing. And those are all kinds of definitions of intuition. But I was born clairaudient, meaning I was hearing things, and I was hearing music, actually. My earliest memory of this, and I didn't realize it until much later, was I remember being a little kid, about 6 or 7 years old, and we were in the family trip in the car, and I was humming a song to myself, and I said, "Mom, turn the radio on. There's a song I like that's playing." And she turned it on. It was right where I was singing it, and I didn't think anything of it, and she didn't think anything of it. But it turns out that clairaudience has sort of followed me throughout my whole life, and there came a time when I wanted to learn more about this. And I did a lot of studies in energy medicine. I wanted to be an energy healer at various points in my life. So I studied different modalities, including Reiki. And then I ended up just deciding to jump in with both feet and really develop this intuitive sense. And I became a professional clairvoyant. And what I noticed out there in the world was there was a missing piece, and that piece was the synthesis of both energy work and the clairvoyant skill, which is the visual seeing. And that in healthcare, this was a real, there wasn't anything there, really. And in energy work, I didn't find that people were really doing this consistently. People get what I call flashes of insight when they're doing energy work. A lot of very sensitive, intuitive energy healers will get information sporadically, which is wonderful. But it's not the same as doing a deliberate medical intuitive reading. It's a different process. So that's why I saw this need here, and I decided to develop a program for that.
That's wonderful. But you have an interesting background, too, getting back to your clear audience. Now, weren't you a performer, a singer for many years?
Oh, you did your research, yes. I was in music for most of my life. As a performer, as a composer, I'm still a composer on, you know, when I have a moment in time, which is rare these days. I'm mostly teaching. Yes, and so music was a huge part of my life. It still is. And so the music connection for clairaudience was a natural fit for me. But some people, I must say, are natural empaths, right? They use the word, and they'll
That's
say, I'm
me.
Empathic. Yeah. And empaths are wonderful, but what empaths are doing is they're almost, and I hope you're not, but absorbing or feeling the emotions of others. And I want to circle back to your topic of neutrality. One of the main things I teach in the very first day of the program is neutrality for energy workers for healthcare providers, because it's natural for us to be compassionate and empathic, and we want to keep that, but we don't want to energetically absorb other people's energy. And that's where neutrality comes in.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a critical skill, I will tell you that. It doesn't
it's a
make
critical
you any less
skill on so yeah. many levels, absolutely. It's very critical. So I think that's wonderful that you teach it on the first day, because otherwise we could be coloring the person that we're working with our feelings and our thoughts and
exactly.
creating a whole different scenario rather than being neutral and allow their energy and information to speak to us.
You said it perfectly, Marbeth. Absolutely. Yes, that's the key.
Yeah. I'm very excited about this because this, you know, as an empath and an intuitive, I do get a lot of information, but I don't get sometimes I do, but mostly I get the information in my body. Like I find when I'm working with someone, their body communicates to me so I can feel in my body where they're holding their technical term stuff.
Yeah. That's a,
you know?
And that's called clairsentience, clear feeling.
Yes.
Yeah, and in my program, you will learn how to not be clairsentient and how to use your other intuitive skills. It's like developing a new muscle or learning a new language, really.
And interesting.
I get a lot of people mistake clairsentience for reading, and it's the same. You don't want to really feel other people's stuff in your energy. There's other ways to get the information without having to take it into your body.
Yeah, I've heard
or
that.
I've
actually learned how to feel it, but I don't hold it. You know, it just comes in. It's like a cloud. It leaves. But the body communicates to me so that I might feel like a heaviness in my chest, and I get the information, write it down, it disappears. And then I might feel like knots in my stomach, and that disappears. So I'll get like 6 or 8 different, I call them indicators, let it go. And then I have the information. I just ask their body, what do you need to do? So that's how I work. So I think it's very interesting. So you don't find that that's actually a healthy way of working.
Well, healthy is a relative term. There are a lot of energy workers that do exactly what you're talking about. In my class, and how I teach this work, is to not take it into our bodies, but to view it in a clairvoyant perspective, from a clairvoyant perspective, and I'll tell you why. From my experience, you get so much more information about the client's issues with the visual techniques rather than the sentient or feeling techniques. The feeling techniques end up being more like flashes of insight. Okay, there's tension in the stomach. There's, you know, this over here. There's pain over there. But from a clairvoyant or a medical intuitive, to be technical about it, perspective, what I'm doing is I'm going to look at your energy, your body and your energy systems, meaning your physical body systems, all 9 or 11 of them, and your chakra system and your aura system as well, your biofield, as if I was looking at a little movie screen or a computer screen in my mind's eye. And what I can see there with a lot of clarity and detail is exactly what's going on, and I don't have to bring it into my own physical sensations in order to do that. And I believe that creates the most effective neutrality that you can get.
Yeah, I can see that. You know, I just when I work, I feel as if I'm actually like a receiving computer, that I'm just receiving information, and it just seems to work. So, you know, not actively doing energy healing, I've never really felt the need to move on, but I think that it's a really valid skill, and I think it offers quite a bit. So can anybody do this, or do you have to be psychic?
Well, I have taught some of the biggest skeptics out there, okay, including Western medical doctors who are curious about, you know, what is all this energy stuff, and my wonderful husband, who is the biggest skeptic on the planet, and he married me. So yes, I can teach anyone this. My focus is on healthcare providers these days because I believe that this is the lever with which we change medicine on the planet. And,
I love that.
I know the power. Yes, and I know the power, as do you, of energy work and energy medicine. And when we can get to the root causes of people's issues with medical intuition, specifically, we are really doing the client and the patient quite a service. So yes, anyone can learn this, and it is a wonderful skill to cultivate.
You know, and from what I understand, I think it's like 6 or 12%. Of diagnoses are actually accurate by a medical professional.
I did some research.
It's
really shocking. The numbers are actually really shocking. And a few years ago, I did a study. I sort of went out there and researched everything I could find on articles regarding misdiagnosis and in the Western medicine field, and frankly, also even in the complementary alternative field, there are some numbers that would just drop your jaw. It's almost up to 44% was the last number I saw of medical cases. 26 to 44% of medical cases are misdiagnosed. Some millions, 12 millions or something, of people in outpatient situations are misdiagnosed. There's a huge numbers, and it's easy to find on the internet. Just Google misdiagnosis percentages and statistics. The interesting thing is, you know, this is anecdotal, and I'm working with a group down in San Diego to create a study, a double-blind study on medical intuition, but anecdotally, I and my students have a very high percentage rate. Our percentage rate is well over 90, upper 90 percent accuracy. Yeah, and that is interesting, you know. So we really want that to be, I really want that to be tested and you know, journaled in some fashion, as other modalities and energy work is being journaled, to give it some, to give an alternative to what's out there.
And you need to create some scientific studies that would prove, you know, in quotes, the efficacy of medical intuition. But I would like at this point to invite our callers to call in if you have any questions for Wendy about medical intuition at 888-627-6008, toll free 888-627-6008. Be sure to call in and ask your questions. So, Wendy, let's get back to this very juicy interview. I'm having fun. I hope you are too. So how does this work with other modalities? Doctors, psychologists?
It's a perfect support. And what's really fun about this, my program, is that I the people that come in to take this work, to learn this skill, come from all across the board. So not only do I get nurses, doctors, and energy workers, Reiki, Healing Touch, you know, you name it. I also get psychologists, social workers, and certainly acupuncturists, chiropractors, and people from the alternative medicine field. So in any given class, there's this wonderful variety of healers that are taking this to support their own modalities. And that's the beauty of medical intuition. It can be integrated into any medical field, any healthcare field, because it's a skill set that has its sort of infinite possibility in terms of getting to the root causes for people.
And for people. When you're working with a client, you have this visual screen in your mind that you're seeing everything very clearly. Do you ask their body and the screen gives you the information? How does that present itself?
Yes. I ask their body. I'm also connecting on, because this is your show and I can say these things here, there's a spiritual element to it, if you want to call it that. I call it an energy element. And so their body and their guidance is giving me the information on my screen. So it's literally like watching a movie of their life. So not only can I see, say, you know, a broken bone or a, you know, a physical imbalance somewhere, but I can also ask to see where this started. And I'm not just talking about the physical roots, which I can see, you know, that is available, but also the energetic, the emotional, and the mental and the spiritual roots of that as well. So very often what I'll see are scenes from someone's life, and these are the underlying root causes, where some incident happened or set of incidents that set up a pattern of thought, behavior, emotion that led to their present-day circumstances. And that can really be valuable when we talk about chronic illness, things like that, diabetes, things that come in the family line or genetics. There are always moments in time in our lives where this trauma happens. Something happens and a decision is made or a life lesson occurs, and then we sort of come out from that point. It's very fascinating to look at that. And what I see literally, Marbeth, are movies, like scenes from their life when they were a child or when they were a teenager, even an adult, even yesterday, you know, things that impact whatever the imbalance might be.
So now this is interesting. So when you were a psychic as a child and clairaudient, did you ever, like when you were talking to people, get these visual references to their lives and, you know, that might be creating the experience that they were having? Or is it something that developed as you became an energy healer?
As I grew up, I noticed I would get what I call clear cognizance, which is a sense of knowing, clear knowing about someone. I could meet someone and there'd be something off in their, and I didn't ever use the words energy, but I could tell that there was something off about them. And I would get these sorts of, you know, clairaudient and claircognizant sorts of hits, like, oh, that person is, you know, ill and they have this issue. Now, I never knew what to do with that. You know, what do you do with that? but as I learned, and I first learned how to do energy healing, as I became an energy healer, I would notice that those flashes of insight, as I call them, were there. And I was able to guide my healing to those, whether or not the client was aware of it, to those areas in the physical body or the biofield that needed clearing. But again, what I noticed, Marbeth, was the client would come back and they'd have the same issue over and over again. Or, you know, we could let it go little by little. They'd let it go little by little, like the more I worked on it. But it wasn't, even those flashes of insight weren't really getting to the, you know, the turning points for them or where these things really began in terms of how they could have power to shift it for themselves. And that's when I started realizing that there was something more needed. And I developed the clairvoyance part and then most recently into a medical intuitive perspective. And I find that that approach, because the modality almost doesn't matter. You can use any wonderful modality out there. There are wonderful modalities out there, including Western medicine has wonderful modalities. But you want to get what's right for the client. So, again, as a medical intuitive, I can see what might be the best way forward for the client, for their health and well-being.
So do you take on personal patients, or do you basically now only work with professionals?
In the program, you mean, in terms of people who can take the program?
Well, no. I mean, in terms of you as a medical intuitive.
Oh, I'm very happy to take anybody. I do private sessions, absolutely, with anyone who would like a session, without question.
Okay, very cool. Yeah, that was something. And also, I wanted to remind you guys to call in at 888-627-6008. Join in on our very fun discussion with Wendy Coulter. So tell us some of the more interesting cases you've had.
One case that I talk about, which really outlines the whole mind-body connection, is a client of mine who had sort of a wrist flare-up of tendonitis. And this is a good story because it'll really show you the trajectory when I say the root causes of issues. And she asked me to heal it. But before I healed it, I wanted to take a look at it because that's what I do as a medical intuitive. If someone comes to me for a healing, they will always get, you know, let me take a look at this first. And if someone just comes to me as a medical intuitive, we'll spend, you know, the whole hour looking at things. But when I looked at her wrist, what I saw was, of course, the tendons were inflamed and, you know, there was a lot of pain and inflammation in there. But there was a lot of energy of heartbreak and sadness as well. That's what the wrist was holding. So she didn't know how the flare-up happened. She said, I don't know. I haven't been, you know, typing a lot. It didn't seem like there was a connection. But what I saw in there was all this heartbreak and sadness as well as all this flare-up and inflammation. And I kept looking, and I saw that underneath the tendons and the muscles and whatnot, there in the bone of her wrist, was a healed scar. And as I was telling you, I can see little movies of someone's life, and the movie that popped up on my screen was her in around her early 20s playing tennis and falling and breaking her wrist, and that's how that wrist break happened. But there was also all of this unhealed heartbreak and grief in that wrist as well. And she piped up, and she said, oh, yes, I was 21. I was playing tennis with my boyfriend. I fell, and I broke my wrist. And when we went to the hospital, as they were taping up my wrist, he broke up with me. So in her wrist was all this grief and heartbreak, and that was active right now. And she was going through another breakup. This was, you know, 20-some years later.
Of course.
20-year-old incident. So what was happening in her wrist was every time she went through a similar kind of grief process or with a heartbreak, her wrist would flare up, and she never made that connection before. So as a healer now, I can remove all of that grief and heartbreak, right? As a client of mine, and I can remove it way down to the 20-year-old incident when all that was stored there. Now, here's the interesting part as well. The wrist wasn't done showing me what it had stored there. And I looked and I saw another image of her at 5 years old in a dark enclosed space with that same wrist raised as if to protect herself in front of her face, and a stick or a cane coming down and like beating on that, on her. And it was I could see a lot of detail there, but what clients often do is they'll pipe up and they'll say, well, yes, this is what happened. And she said, yes, when I was 5 years old, my mother used to, her mother was mentally ill and used to lock her in a closet and beat her with her cane. In that wrist, yeah, very powerful. In that wrist was not only the current life issues and the 20-year-old issue, but also a 5-year-old pain, grief, terror, fear, all that stuff right there in that wrist, where, of course, there was probably a fracture of some kind when she was a child that made a weakness there in the bone, but also carried all of that pain, emotional pain. Now, what's interesting about this, I mean, it's an interesting thing to look at that, is that she had knowledge of those incidents, right? She remembered, or at least as an adult, remembered being beaten like that in that horrible way as a child. And when her memory is jogged, she remembered the break in her wrist and what happened there, where why there would be heartbreak and emotion there, and current life going through another breakup. But she had never connected those dots, and why would you? From your logical mind, it doesn't make sense. Like, why would these things be connected to have a flare-up in your wrist? But they were connected. And as a medical intuitive, I was able to see the entire trajectory of information on the physical level that had that emotional trauma component to it. And that allowed her what I call permission to heal from a much deeper level. And that's the power of medical intuition, sort of in a nutshell there.
That's really, really powerful. An amazing story, and I can see, it's interesting too, because I experienced something very similar in a class last night with one of my students who had broken her jaw, and had ever since been creating all of these headaches and neck and shoulder pain, but it was actually due to events that had preceded the break of the jaw, so I totally get that. So, wow, that's an amazing story. Do you have any others to share?
I have loads.
Awesome.
Loads and loads. Yeah, there's a lot of stories. And I have to tell you, my students have stories too.
Because I bet.
As we look into people's energy, we see all kinds of amazing things. I will tell you a personal story, if that's okay. You'd ask
Me
how I got started in this. And one of the ways I got started in this is that I did a self-healing process. And I mean energy work and energy in general. I had been reading a lot of books on energy work in my, my mid-20s or so. And one of the books I read was Deepak Chopra's Quantum Healing. If you haven't read that book, it's a real good one. My body decided to develop a little tumor. And when I went to have it checked, it was benign. And this speaks to your topic of neutrality. That's why I wanted to talk about this particular story, because it's a personal story as well. It wasn't there wasn't an issue with the tumor in terms of disease, so I was quite neutral about it. And I remember telling my doctor, I've been reading this book about visualization by Deepak Chopra, and she's looking at me like I have three heads and come from Mars. And I said, I want to try working on this little tumor and see if I can't remove it, shrink it, get rid of it. And she said, that's fine, but let's schedule you for surgery, in about 2 weeks. And I said, okay, no problem. Because she wanted to remove it even though it wasn't necessarily a danger. And so for the next 2 weeks, Marbeth, I visualized an image that just made me laugh. And that image was, there's a commercial with scrubbing bubbles, the cleaner that cleans things up,
Right.
Right. So I just sat in my meditation state, and I used this visualization of these funny little bubbles scrubbing this little tumor, scrub, 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 and, you know, having it go wee, you know, and off it goes, dissolving and down the drain.
That's great.
And I didn't pay attention to this little tumor. It was about the size of a nickel, I'd say. And I wasn't in a place where I, you know, was on the front of my body, and I won't tell any more about that, but it wasn't a place where I, you know, was going to obviously see it. So I didn't pay attention to it. And I just did that every day for about 5 minutes. And 2 weeks later, I went to pre-op. And the doctor does a pre-op exam, and I hear her gasp. And I'm like, what? And I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, it's, you know, the size of a, you know, a house. And I'm like, about to die. And she said, no, what did you do? She said, it's the size, it's reduced by half. And it went to about the size of a pea. You know, a small one. And I said, well, I did this visualization thing. And, of course, she looked at me again like I was from Mars. And what was fascinating about that, well, that's exactly what Deepak Chopra, Dr. Chopra, describes in the book, is that people are using visualization tools to affect changes in their body. And that is literally the mind-body connection. So
absolutely.
Yeah. So that experience was a real shifter, you know, shifted my awareness at that time and made me think, something to all this. Maybe should check it out.
Yeah, I just love all of this information. So I'm wondering, what qualities or traits are necessary to learn about medical intuition medical intuition? What traits are necessary?
That's such a good question. I would say willingness, because you don't need to have any special skill before learning this. You just need to be willing to allow whatever, just sort of have some flexibility and openness. The other trait that's really important is that the ability to have the ability to visualize or imagine. Imagination is visualization. It's the same thing. And that's a skill, to be honest, and you definitely will develop it as you learn to become a medical intuitive. And what people wonder is, am I making this up? And the question is, what is the client saying? What are they telling you? you didn't know this woman that you looked at when you saw her uterus was pregnant, but showed her. Yeah, showed you. So something's going on in the uterus, and you could say, well, I was just making it up. But you had some sort of intuitive hit, information that there was something there. So your ability to be willing and open to see whatever it is, you get what you get, and to be able to have the skill of visualization, which is, you know, it takes a little skill. You know, you want to be able to. I have people, what I do, if they have trouble visualizing, and this is a good thing your listeners might be interested in, if you have trouble visualizing, I suggest people take an apple or a piece of fruit or something and put it on their table and sit down and look at the piece of fruit and then close their eyes and see it in your mind's eye. And that's the skill of visualization right there.
Yeah, or just close your eyes and imagine your front door.
That's true, too. That's what a lot of people use. I remember doing that and thinking, you know, I don't know what kind of doorknob my door has.
Because now clairvoyance was not your primary skill initially. You were a clairaudient, right?
No, clairvoyance is my primary skill now.
Oh, it is? Okay, now it is.
Oh, absolutely.
But was it originally?
Absolutely. Well, originally, I like everybody, I think I had all of it. Look, you know, we play the parking spot angel game, right? Where we ask the parking gods or the parking angel to find us a parking spot. Well, that's called claircognizance. That's clear knowing. There is no parking spot deity. I promise you that.
Are you sure?
Right, but there is the skill of claircognizance. There's the skill of clairsentience, feeling other people's energy and your own energy and your emotions or your physical body, which is what you described so perfectly. And there is clairvoyance, which is the skill set of seeing. Now, the skill set of seeing is one that you want to have put yourself in a learning environment in order to learn. It's not it's not that it's not natural. There are a lot of born clairvoyants. But here's how I describe it, Omar Beth. You know, when a child is born with a natural sort of an interest in art or math or sports,
sure.
And what parents will do is they'll encourage, you know, the kid to play sports, or they'll encourage them to draw or paint, or music, they'll encourage them to play an instrument. Well, everybody is born with intuition, and some children display their intuition early on, but we have no context for it. We can't send them to intuitive school at after school, you know. What parents generally do is they shut it down, and only because they're concerned about the safety or welfare of their child, I'm sure. But it's not a known or understood skill, but it is a very natural skill, like sports or math or drawing or whatever, music ability. It's an ability. And what people can do is develop it. I look forward to a time when we do have programs for children who have a natural bent towards this intuitive ability. That would be a wonderful world to live in.
Totally. That would be an amazing world.
Yeah. And I see medical intuition, to be totally honest, as a job description in hospitals, clinics, you know, really waiting to happen.
I agree, because it doesn't interfere with a doctor's or a physician's job at all, or a psychologist, although it might create a much lesser period of time that the client needs to go undergo treatment. You know, if you could actually cure it immediately,
yes.
Rather than
you actually
torturing
hit it on
people.
Yes, you nailed it. And I will tell you that what I hear back from my students when they've graduated is that they're finding their patients are moving through their issues faster and more effectively, and that's the beauty of medical intuition. And so the psychologists, you know, how they're going to use it, the doctors, how they use it. For doctors, boy, does this mitigate misdiagnosis or prescription issues, things like that. You can get right to the issue. You can find out right what that patient needs, if this treatment or that treatment is going to work for them. Their diagnosis.
You could also run into some difficulties maybe with the pharmaceutical companies if you could actually say, no, this is not going to work. In fact, it's going to be detrimental to these patients.
Well, you know what's interesting about that is that I never discount anything. So there are some things that show up in my clients' experience that really work that come from the pharmaceutical industry. In other words, I don't have any bias against one form of medicine over another form of medicine. I can't, because as a medical intuitive, that would color or influence what I see. So if someone is on high blood pressure medication that actually is working for them and it's doing the job, or, you know, another kind of medication, any kind of issue, then I'm going to let them know that that's what I see. However, there may be other things that can also support the issue.
Sure.
Diet, exercise, stress. And these are things that Western medicine and even complementary and alternative medicine can't always necessarily address, because there's this issue of tunnel vision. Everybody has a specialty, and you'll see everything through that sort of visual of that vision of that tunnel vision of that specialty. What a medical intuitive does is it gives you this broad scope. I'm not deciding, you know, or asking or telling someone, rather, what it is that's going to work for them. I'm going to look and see how their body and their systems are going to react to this issue. Now, I can't diagnose. I'm not legally qualified to do so. All I can do is assess energy and see what it says. And I will always tell people, talk to your doctor. You must run this by your doctor or your healthcare professional. But here's what your body is telling me. So if the pill is going to work, if the surgery or the treatment that comes from Western medicine or acupuncture or chiropractic or you name it, I mean, naturopathic medicine or energy work is going to work, the body's going to show me. So that's fascinating, isn't it?
It's totally fascinating. So if you can you look at someone's body and then, you know, just actually see, well, your issue would be cleared up by changing your diet and eliminating wheat or dairy.
Yes. So many people, the gut issues, microbiome, is such an issue these days. Leaky gut, you name it, a million kinds of issues for the intestines. And to be honest, when I do a medical intuitive reading session with someone, I will look at the intestinal health almost immediately, right away, just to see, because we're not a collection of disparate systems. Every system works with every other system. And if something's happening in the gut, it could affect mental health. It could affect depression. It could affect heart health. It could affect certainly our lymphatic system, our immune system. So all of these systems work together. And gut issues are what they call it, the second brain, because it's so critical to our overall health. So there's that, yeah.
Interesting. So now you have a training program. We're going to have all the details so people can find you on our show page on havingitallradio.com. So if you guys are interested in learning more about Wendy, about being a medical intuitive yourself, or about contacting her, you'll find all of that information on her show page on havingitallradio.com. Is there anything that you would like to tell us about your training program?
Well, yeah, it's essentially I trip over myself because I have three levels to the program. And the first level is a 4-month, 1 weekend a month program, and that goes on. The second level is 4 months, and the master training is also 4 months. And I teach in Los Angeles and also sometimes down in San Diego. And I do have people that fly in for the program, but I teach in person. And the reason I don't do an online training is because I feel that people need the one-on-one experience of being in the classroom, working with their classmates, and we read each other in the program. We read out your classmates, read each other. And that gives you the real training. If you learn it online, I can't guarantee the results, put it that way.
No, I got that, but do you do readings online?
Oh, absolutely. Personally, I do readings over the phone, mostly.
I get it.
Yeah.
That's just wonderful, all because of that quantum entanglement from quantum physics. Yeah, we can feel and see and do really good work with people far away. I love that. So,
people all over the world. I'm sure you do too.
Yeah. So, is there anything else you'd like to share? We have just a few minutes left, but is there anything that we didn't cover you'd like to share?
Well, I don't think so. Unless you have another question, I really do appreciate you letting me talk about this. It's obviously my passion. And a bit of a soapbox for me in the healthcare field. And I do believe it's really, truly, the people talk about mind-body medicine, they talk about holistic medicine, but from my perspective, medical intuition really is the holistic view, and it really does give you that mind-body-spirit connection for your patients and clients and for yourself as well.
I think it's a wonderful thing, and I really appreciate your coming on and sharing this with me. And also, I just wanted to remind everyone about our Haiti Community Project. If you enjoyed the first story that I shared with you, if you'd like to visit our page at HaitiCommunityProject.org, HaitiCommunityProject.org, and if you can contribute even something small, goes a very long way in Haiti. So, we have about a minute and a half left. What do you think would be something that people could do to be more healthy, to be more in tune with themselves, to develop more imagination so they can help themselves?
What a great question. Meditation is a cornerstone of developing one's intuition. It really is. And it doesn't almost doesn't matter what kind of meditation you study. There's transcendental meditation. There's mindfulness meditation. There's a skill that I teach, which is a where we clean out our energy. We use energy visualization meditation where we do some self-work and release stuff in our own energy, and that's a very powerful meditation skill. But what I've seen in people's energy, if you develop a meditation practice, it helps everything. It helps every system in our body. It helps every part of our chakra system and our aura system. It gets us more connected to spirit and to our own guidance. It just has wonderful effects. So I encourage everyone, to find a meditation practice that you like and try a few different things to see what works best for you.
I love it. I love it. Thank you so much, Wendy Coulter. And please look up her show page on havingitallradio.com. Looking forward to seeing you there. Much love
Thank
and
you.
Many, many blessings.
Thank you, Marbeth. What a pleasure.
Join Marbeth next week on Having It All. Visit havingitallradio.com to learn more about Marbeth Dunn and her special guests. And be sure to download your free report.